Hey there, it's Dane Reinhardt, NAHU president, bringing you this month's President's Perspective, a conversation with current and future leaders of NAHU.
Here we are at the last President's Perspective podcast for two has-beens. So it's now, the 13th of July, joined by, of course, Dane Reinhardt, our immediate past president, and also by Dan, the man who has become world famous because of his voice. I hear a lot of people talk about how much they love your voice.
Yeah. I just met for the first time over Zoom Wayne Sakamoto a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. And him and I were talking about my voice for a while. He's very interested in the radio. So it's been fun. I've gotten LinkedIn messages, especially after Capital Conference, because I was so heavily involved in that, more so than convention.
We had, about 600-700 people at convention, 700-800 max? You're famous inside that microcosm of the universe. As opposed to me and David, we're not even famous in that arena.
There's like 20 people who know us.
But folks who have been listening to this have enjoyed it very much. I know that's the feedback you've gotten.
Both of them said that.
I mean, I think it's been an interesting experiment. It all started with us realizing that the president's perspective probably needed a little more of a live perspective. And I think it evolved into, good conversations.
Well, and I also think, David, part of the president's perspective, I mean, whatever people read in America's Benefits Specialist, what people may not know is that a lot of that's ghostwritten. Now, I don't know what historically presidents have done, but I've been told by Martin that it varies. That's, he ghostwrites for some people some, for others more, and for some none. And I don't know, I'm not going to try to disparage any past presidents at all, but I didn't write one. It was all in this format. I think it's an authentic way for people to get to be able to identify with the president. I'd like to see this evolve. I'm out. This is it. But I think there's an opportunity for it to evolve. And Dan, since you'll be carrying the torch in a way, it would be neat to see if this could evolve into like revenue generation. I believe that's 100% there and it doesn't fall at your feet. But I think between Healthcare Happy Hour and this, there's room to have podcast sponsorships. And I think they could be sold at slots that could generate tens and tens of thousands, if not more, revenue over time. So I think that's the first thing that I didn't get done. David and I played around with it last fall, and we got some money that came in. It was hundreds of dollars, but it was proof of concept.
And I will say, this all started too because of the way we approached your interview for ABS. But I appreciated the fact when I read Eugene's and Dan, you interviewed him, right?
Yeah, we did.
And I thought that was good. I mean, I think that same mentality of kind of drawing information out of people it's just better done when you're talking to them, when you're trying to put words in their mouth. And I agree with you, it's more authentic. And your interview probably sounded better than mine and Dane's did. So,
well, actually, we didn't broadcast it, if you remember. I did read it because it was your edits that you sent to me that I read that we sent to Martin to finish. That wasn't actually an audio piece. That was the origination of the podcast. And I think I hung up with you and called you an hour later and said, I like that. Let's turn this into something else.
Yeah.
And then I hounded Janet and she made Dan available to us and magic happened because Dan the man was.
Because of Dan.
I mean,
you can make anybody good at this.
I was, extra work aside, I was excited that you wanted to do that because obviously I'm a big proponent of the podcast with the Healthcare Happy Hour. I thought it was an interesting way to do it. And I think that some of the episodes that you guys had were really good. Like the one stuck out to me, Gerald Tillman, especially.
That was my favorite one it was just a cold call, but he wanted to be on the podcast and he was so interesting. That would be another thing that I would, if I were doing this for another year, I would do more of that. I wish I had had the outlet for a scheduler because doing your day job and scheduling this, because when we moved it to weekly, we liked the frequency. We liked carving out the hour to do it, but it was like, okay, who you got? And then we'd both be like, no one. And so when I invested the time to search people out that were interesting, that shows the possibilities, Dan and Dave, but Dan for next year, of what could be done if you just stumble across these things in trade publications. I know for a fact people love to talk about themselves. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just I think your yes rate to a cold call, hey, would you be on my podcast, is probably in excess of 80%. So, you know, I think if Eugene and or you were just reading, come across people, you could be like, hey, let's see if so-and-so wants to do it. I know that's not in your job description, Dan, at all, but I think that's the hardest part of this is getting the people.
They're receptive to coming on mostly because they know that it's going to be edited, which is actually a really big deal, because they know that if they misspeak or, oh, they can I say that again, they can. So I think that's the reason why people are receptive to podcasts.
All right. So what's next for you, Dane?
Well, you know, I'll be serving in the traditional past president's role. I'm actually going to be doing something I haven't done before, which is part of the whole Vision 2025. All of the members of the executive committee served on the various goal committees. And I didn't, as I don't know if Pat did. Pat and I didn't as president-elect and president. Right. Yeah. So Pat as president and myself as president-elect were exempt. And then when I became president, I was exempt. So it was launched during my president-elect year. So I haven't sat on a goal committee before, and I'll be replacing Pat on the technology side of things. So we have our first major meeting coming up at the end of July. And Jennifer at Warden Brown is running that group. So I'm looking forward to getting to know her and being part of that committee. I will be active on the pieces of the personnel committee that are relevant. There isn't a ton going on in that regard. The board does meet now on a regular basis, or the executive committee meets on a regular basis for the CEO personnel reviews that are done quarterly, just check-ins really more than anything. So I'll be doing that. I think I'd like to, you know, carry this, if you want to call it chemistry, but what we're doing, Dave, somewhere else, you know, keep the podcast alive in another iteration outside of the NAHU tent. So for both of our listeners that are listening, we'll reach out to you and let you know that when and if that's launched, we will. And that's sort of what I've got going on from an NAHU/, and then to include the podcast piece of it, for the next year. And then I'll happily be a cheerleader from the sidelines. I think I've used that analogy with you, David, before, which is, you know, with my kids being where they are in their lives now, both in college, Jillian was a cheerleader, but now I've sort of stepped into that role of standing on the sidelines cheering for my kids. And when I get done this next year with NAHU, I'll be doing the same thing. I'll take a break for sure. I don't know how and when or if I'd re-engage, but I will certainly be an active cheerleader for NAHU and all of the things that we're trying to get done inside and outside of DC.
I hear you're going to be the Baltimore chapter president.
Yeah, well, that's not happening.
Are you going to be a regional chair under Warden?
I doubt that. I don't think the region would be well served to have me involved after next year.
It's actually very interesting to see some of the times that people have gotten re-involved and done some things. I know one of the local chapters I have here in North Carolina is going to be chaired by the president of that local chapter, is going to be Linda Rose Kaler, who used to be the RVP for eight. And of course,
but she moved from eight to five, right?
That's right. And then the state president of North Carolina now is Carol Mosnick, who was for a long time executive director for the North Carolina chapter, and then was also national membership council chair for a couple of years. So,
yeah, no, I think it's, and then we, you know, I think the role model for the icon for that getting re-involved is Steve Selinsky. I mean, they break the mold with him. He's incredible for his time and commitment back to the association after being on the board in EC for all those years. I don't want to never say never, but I think there's a different calling out there for me. I'm not sure what it is. I know that I told our CEO, my business partner, Heath, that I'd be taking on some new initiatives inside our company, which I'm excited to reallocate that time to. But I don't know what's out there. I'd like to think there's something else out there. It may be inside of NAHU. It may be something that integrates the outside of NAHU back in. I don't know. But I wouldn't accept, I know you're saying some of this stuff half jokingly, but I wouldn't accept another role within NAHU unless I knew I had the passion to re-engage with it. I wouldn't want to just do it to occupy a seat. I don't think it would serve anything well.
No, I get it. I mean, I think it is hard because you look at Pat as two people who to go through the all those positions, you really have served 10 years.
Well, it's 20% of my life, including the RVP. I mean, it's weird to think that, but 20% of my life, I've been on the EC of NH, or will have been. I feel like that's enough blood to allocate for the moment.
Yeah. I do think one of the great parts about being in these roles is the people you get to know, the richness of those pieces. And as you know, we did a little get together in Vegas for a convention. I think on the first night, I think we had 19 people at dinner. It was kind of madness in the sense you had so many people sitting at the same table, but also just really, you know, we had people from Arizona, from Nevada, from California. David Sherrill was there from Florida, Mordo, of course, and the V. So, I mean, it was just really interesting.
It's funny. I talked to you once, I think, while you were out there, and it was unmistakable whose voice was in the background of Dave Sherrill. His voice is carries so strongly. I was like, I can hear Sherrill.
I think it is very much that family aspect of what we do and why it all drives us and connects us that keeps us so involved and keeps us so interested. I mean, that to me is the hallmark of what we do. It's actually very interesting looking at someone's wedding pictures. And they were at the same hotel we were at a week before getting married. So it's like, I feel like I was just there. We all do what we do because we actually like each other. And for the most part, I mean, other than Morda, but he did have a really good idea about us doing synchronized.
That's swimming. An oxymoron.
I know. Now, Mordo and good ideas, Moxie Warren, I'd agree. About us doing synchronized swimming because he was making fun of the fact that I hate to jump into a cold pool.
Nice. So, Dan, what's new with you? I understand you're going to be taking on some different roles that you weren't over the last 12 months on Ledge side. Is that our government affairs? Tell us a little bit about that.
That's correct. NHU is trying to get more and more involved in submitting a written testimony to Congress. It's something we've done in the past. And it's something we want to continue doing now. And so what I do is whenever there's a relevant hearing to us that we think that the members of the committee need to be briefed on or need to be educated on, I helped craft that message to Congress. You can find all of our testimony we submit on the website under advocacy, under policy documents. The most recent one we were doing was in regards to how they can lower prescription drug costs. Recently, the Senate Finance Committee reached out to us directly and asked us for any advice on if they were to pass legislation lowering prescription drug costs for Medicare beneficiaries, how they can do that without affecting the employer market, without shifting the cost onto the employer-based market. And that was the most recent one we just submitted. We also submitted ones on, you know, making telehealth flexibilities permanent from the coronavirus pandemic. And also in terms of prescription drugs, Democrats have been behind HR 3. They've been around it for a while. That was Speaker Nancy Pelosi's bill to lower prescription drug costs. And we essentially went through all of our concerns with that and how we think that might impact things. And we don't just make these things up. We consult our working groups. For that, we consulted the Prescription Drug Task Force led by Greg Stansel. So we also gave recommendations on things they can do now that is pretty much agreed on a bipartisan basis can lower drug costs, like stopping pay for delay deals between drug companies.
It's going to be, for those Ledge nerds out there, it is going to be interesting to see how these next, whatever it is, month or two shape up. Because you're brighter on this stuff than I am, David. But this looks like the infrastructure deal is going to be somewhat bipartisan and the rest is going to be done through reconciliation. And the reconciliation piece is the ultimate sausage making. It's like, okay, this caused this. Where are we paying for it? And then they make up some BS about that. And then a new piece of legislation happens. It's really crazy to see it work that way.
Speaking of crazy to see, we're now joined by reigning dictator of NHU. I mean, the new president of NHU.
Hey, Eugene, how are you? Good to have you.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
So we were just wrapping up, Eugene, some thoughts on the year. We asked Dan to stay on the call with us this time since he was somebody we always talked about having on the call and was such a big part of helping it all work for us. Sure, he'll be doing the editing for you moving forward. Welcome, Eugene. And basically, we're handing the baton to you to keep running with this thing and have fun.
Look, I appreciate it. I appreciate all that you and Smith and actually Dan have done to launch this President's Podcast. I think it's an important channel of communication that I think we're only scratching the surface on in terms of reaching our members and just bringing new information to them. And to David's point, also some fun and frivolity. Is that right, David?
Yep. Probably the one thing I'll be remembered for the most.
It's not your elocution.
Yeah,
exactly. Not my elocution.
Yeah, I could think of worse things to be remembered for.
No, I mean, I'm really proud of what that group's going to do. And I think the more they're involved in things like planning convention and stuff like that, I mean, again, the fun stuff, the fun aspect of membership is important. I do think that every year with a new president, there's always some things that come and some things that go. But I think most people have learned to find the things that work and not do the things that don't work. And I know Dan and I are really glad you're going to continue this, because I do think it's a great channel and a great way to talk to people, because Dane made the comment earlier that sometimes things are just kind of ghostwritten. And in this situation, you really can't do that. And so I think for that reason, it's really good for people to realize that we're all pretty normal people, right? Y'all more than me. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I'll agree with that, Smith. You know, one of the things that, you know, to your point, really, when I first started getting involved with Health Underwriters and went to my first CapCon and first convention, and all those people on the stage that thought, oh my, you know, those are big and important people, you know, and there was a little bit of this kind of Wizard of Oz thing going on, what was really going on, you know, behind the curtains. And what I realized as I went forward is it's really all just somewhat normal people, as normal as we can be, stepping up to serve and then working together to figure out what are the things we can do best to equip our members to be leading professionals and to advocate for our members. And Dane was just talking about that as I got on, with what's going to happen with budget reconciliation, what's going to happen with the whole infrastructure package. I mean, you know, we've got a team in DC that's there all the time watching. And the normal people thing, it's like it really struck me that, you know, while they were on the stage, there were really people like me that walked into a CapCon one day and started to see the big picture of what NIH was about and chose to be engaged.
No doubt. One interesting part about today's podcast is we handed off to you, Dan. We had to break this to you, but apparently your child's going to have to go to Ole Miss because all the rest of us have had children go to Ole Miss. And so I'm glad you volunteered the child you've not yet had to go to Ole Miss so you can fit in with us. In fact, none of us went to Ole Miss. We just Correct. All of us had our daughters go to Ole Miss. And so it is one of those interesting side notes of
it's kind of weird
connection. Yeah.
Especially with me being the Yankee on the call.
True.
Although I don't know exactly where that Mason-Dixon line runs.
Technically it's north of me, but look,
yeah,
I went to UVA, and when I got there, anything north of Richmond was considered a Yankee. And the only reason they let Richmond in is it was the Confederate capital way back when. So I've learned a long time ago I'm a Yankee. And
yeah, my daughter's been called a Yankee in Oxford, Mississippi more than once because she's from
North Carolina.
It's north. Look, I'm from Biloxi, Mississippi. It's on the Gulf Coast. Everything was north of me. So, you know, everybody's a Yankee, right? Everything's right. North of me. But yeah, that is an unusual characteristic coincidence that, yeah, none of us went to Ole Miss and all of our daughters did. So, Dan, you have to have a daughter. And let me know when she's born and we'll send you an Ole Miss onesie. For the baby, not for you.
Yeah, not for you.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I'm going to get you a Landshark shirt now.
So, Eugene, how are you planning to make this better than it is? Because it's not much of a leap to do that.
Well, yeah. Thank you for setting the bar low. So it'll be easy to do.
It's our pleasure.
And I've talked to Dan a little bit, and I've talked to some other members. I think in some respects, continue what you're doing because you brought some interesting people on. But just ideas that have gone through my head is, you know, maybe trying to include a video component to this, set up to use video. And if not all of the podcasts have video for some of the podcasts, data shows that people watch videos more than they just listen to audio. So if we could do that, I think that would be a good component to add. It even occurred to me that maybe one day for an episode or more, we even try to do the podcast live and have people log in. And Dan, that'll be your magic to, you know, when people can talk. Hopefully you do a better job than, you know, giving me a chance to talk when I was doing my speech. But no, that wasn't your fault.
I love that idea. And it actually, it'll put our social media presence to the test too, because a lot of times when those things go live, you know, it's announced through social media. Yeah. We certainly could plan that. You could plan that ahead, but I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. And in fact, one of the things we discussed in a little group I've been in, David Smith obviously has been a part of giving me some input on going forward with this, but probably put out a survey on LinkedIn to just see what the listenership would like to hear. So really trying to create more engagement around this from the members and really be seen outside of the membership so that others that are not members and prospective clients for all of us can see us engaged in what we're engaged in and think, yeah, these are the kind of people I need to be working with to help us with our plans and our strategies.
Well, I mean, I think there's so many things that we want to hear about. And I think Dan was talking about a couple of his favorite episodes. And I think the more we also move beyond just talking about NHU and the things that right. matter to the people. And I think that also plays a positive role because we ultimately have to do things that are bringing value to our members. And I think that's been important. We've all had in this process. And I'm really excited about Dan doing something more on the ledge side that somebody else to advocate for us, which I think is all very important. Like you said, people don't really appreciate how much money we spend on people and talent and attention in Washington that ultimately helps us all at the end of the day. And that's an important investment for our careers and for our lives. So I know I'm appreciative of it. I think we're all very lucky to have it. So
absolutely. A couple of things that struck me, David, when you and I spoke yesterday and you said something to the effect of welcome to day 12 of your presidency, I had to look at my calendar and realize, oh my gosh, we're already, you know, yesterday at the 12th of July, 12 days into the new year for NAHU. It even made me pause and think, what have I accomplished? And I know the one big thing I accomplished was I actually took a vacation, right? Spent a week on the beach.
You took a vacation and you probably did some CrossFit somewhere in there. So you got some stuff accomplished.
I did. I always did that. I hit it hard yesterday. But it did make me think, Dan, and you and I have talked about it. It's kind of you looked up and you were sort of at the last quarter of your year term as NAHU president. Y'all may have talked about this some, but, you know, what are some of your takeaways from your experience? And looking ahead, because you don't just exit stage left, you still have some important responsibilities. What are some of the things you're looking forward to in the new year?
My reflection as president, and if you're asking for advice, it is that I didn't pace myself. We came out hot and smoking last summer and got a lot done. And I would say by the beginning, first quarter of last year, there was a fatigue that set in. Not one that was active, you know, it was just sort of like I Usain Bolted when I needed to run a marathon. And so, you know, if you sort of set yourself up with between the DEI and a number of things that we did with membership and things like that, that were pre-launched by the end of last year, we got a lot done in the first half of the presidency. But I don't know, I would sort of have a journal of things I'd want to get done next year too. I mean, one of the things I wanted to do was be able to have a succession plan to this, but I didn't know what it would be. So I'm glad that you're interested in continuing it for the sake of the memberships, not for the sake of the fact that David and I incubated this out of nothing. And one could argue that all of last year doing this was nothing. So you can turn it into something, but that would be my takeaway, which is find a way to stay mentally engaged at the level that you are right now. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard. And we have the Vision 2025 to work. So it keeps you in check for sure. But are you waking up on April 1st with the same enthusiasm you have on July 13th? It's really difficult. So I would say pace yourself.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. And it really makes me think back to when I first came on the board And from a distance, you would think, I remember one thing that stuck in my head was sort of a coronation, right? That this was sort of a parade with people coming through, succession in the chairs and all that kind of stuff. And then you realize when you step into that secretary seat, the magnitude of the work that's involved and how the magnitude of that work grows year over year with your responsibilities. So to your point, Dane, I think that you hit the ground running, and obviously we were still responding to COVID. And so, you added a degree of complexity to your role as president that we did not anticipate when you were president-elect, 3 months away from becoming president or 6 months away from becoming president. So it's already was an intense job, and everything going on in the culture and the community made it even more intense. So I applaud the effort you sustained and what you did accomplish. You and I can do the same dive off the same high dive, but your degree of difficulty this year was definitely more intense.
I don't know about that. I it's just different. Like, you're going to be hitting airports more than I ever did. I went to one chapter. So I don't want to say one was harder than the other. It was just different. And it's unprecedented for sure, because it wasn't a time when presidents, weren't traveling at all and we weren't seeing people. So it was definitely unprecedented. But you're going to have your work cut out for you just going back to doing things. I doubt you're going to go back to doing things the way we used to do them, but doing them better than we ever have, and sort of taking what's good from the past and what's good from the present and making them NHU for you and our members.
Well, I appreciate that. David, you've been involved at various capacities with NHU leadership and board. What would you advise a new president coming in 13 days into his presidency?
Make sure the technology works before you start talking.
That's a great piece Amen. Of advice. Why didn't you tell me that 2 weeks ago?
No, I think that, it's like you're not talking about yesterday. It's just sometimes you can't avoid those things. I don't know. I do think there's an aspect of this job that I know I'm particularly glad that Dane approached it. I think there are people in the past who kind of had this mentality of like the imperial president. And I think we've really moved away from that idea that presidents are really much just like everybody else. And I think Pat did a great job with that. I know Dane's done a great job with that. I know you'll continue that. I think from my end, I'm excited about the board. I'm excited about the seriousness with which people are taking the job. I think the board has evolved over the last few years. And that makes me feel excited about the things that we're going to do, the things we have to do over the next couple of years. I think change is hard, and I think we've been able to do a lot more despite some of the challenges. My only regret right now is the fact that I never got to completely ignore the dress code for what the board would have to wear for national convention and CAP conference, because I never got a chance to not dress up just to make a point. But I do think we've got great people, both currently, and I think we've got great ideas that are going to be implemented. And that's half the battle.
And Eugene, I would say for the members, for both the people that are listening to this podcast, we might be up to three now that Eugene's on, that for those that don't know you, and I don't profess to be in your inner circle, but I feel like I've gotten to know you reasonably well, both through NHU and a little bit on the professional side through some joint ventures we've discussed and worked on professionally. I think that your true character really did shine through with that technology glitch, because myself included, I would have just said, look, well, let's just re-record it and we can do it differently or later. And your determination and your resilience to make that work really, to me, is the essence of who you are, and your unwillingness just to back down from that. And I think that a lot of that will shine through over the next 350 some days. I can't do that math.
I can't do that math either.
352 days.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that. And some of the understory on that, first of all, Smith, everything was working perfectly until they said go live. And then I couldn't hear people and Dane couldn't hear people. And we have no idea what Gremlin got in there. But what was going on in the background, if you will, is I've got people texting me. I've got people doing the chat. I really wasn't alone in that struggle at all. And I mean, some members that, you know, not on the board. I mean, certainly, you know, the Marcy's and the Dan's trying to get me to push buttons and get things to go live, you know, but just that level of support that came from the membership that was going on. And I'm trying to find the right buttons, and I'm seeing all this encouragement, bottom line, coming in. You know, so all of these things we talk about the challenges of this role, it's that level of engagement and encouragement from the members that really allows us to push through whatever the challenges are.
And kudos to them. They stuck around. I mean, God bless them. I bet you but a handful hung up. There were a lot of people that stuck through those 10, 12 minutes where you were fighting to get that technology to work.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to add, in addition to the support that you saw, I saw from my end that no one left during that entire time. The attendance stayed the same. And also the chat box to the administrator, to me, was full of comments being like, it's okay, Eugene. It happens. Yeah. Everyone was very supportive.
Yeah. So I just wanted to note that Mordo's comment was, if you'd only been in Vegas, we could have just taken care of that for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I thought about that. I thought about a number of things if we'd have just been live. But going back, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I mean, I was determined and just wanted to share some things with the membership. But just that encouragement that came from the membership. And I think that's what underpins and upholds all of us as we, you know, struggle to lead and do something constructive and meaningful for NAHU. So that's what's always motivated me.
Eugene, go forth. Can't screw it up any worse than we did. So
yeah, no, you can't.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and Dan's got my back, and he's going to coach me up, make sure I push the right buttons before we get started. I appreciate you guys.
We're here for you, brother. Let us
know. Cheers. Take care, everyone.
Have a good one.